President Trump is doing damage control today after he said in an ABC interview this week that if a foreign government offered him information about a political opponent, he would take it. Here's Trump on Fox and Friends this morning.
First of all, I don't think anybody would present me with anything, Ben, because they know how much I love this country. Nobody's going to present me with anything, Ben. Number two, if I was, and of course you have to look at it, because if you don't look at it, you're not going to know if it's bad. How are you going to know if it's bad? But of course you'd give it to the FBI or report it to the Attorney General or somebody like that.
And we now know which 20 Democrats will be on stage for the first presidential primary debates later this month. Three candidates will be left out in the cold. Joining us for our Friday roundtable is Washington Post White House reporter Tolu Olorunupah. Hi, Tolu.
Hi there.
Hey, and NBC Politics senior editor Beth Fooey is here. Hi, Beth.
Hi.
And Beth, let's start with you. We just heard the president walking back his comments from earlier in the week that he would not tell the FBI if a foreign government offered him dirt on an opponent. What do you think happened? Why did he backtrack so quickly?
Well, he didn't get a lot of support from his party. Predictably, you know, Democrats went after him hard, but even some Republicans expressed some concern about what the president said. And you know, of course, notably, most Republicans said nothing. But he reads an audience very well, and he knew that he was not going to be backed up, as he often is in some of his statements, by a supporting chorus of Republican lawmakers. So he realized that he had to tack a little bit, which he did. But, you know, he didn't completely refute it. He still said he'd listen to the information that a foreign government presented him. So he really had to stick with his guns to some degree, because that's Trump's style. He doesn't want to admit that he was wrong. He doesn't want to admit that he was sorry. This was very, very consistent with how he operates in an environment where he is being challenged on something that he said in the past.
Oh, well, let's listen to what Trump supporter, Republican Senator Lindsey Graham said. In fact, he mentioned he would have to say no to an offer like that himself.
Well, I can only speak for myself. I've never had a government come up to me and say, hey, I'd like to help you in your campaign. The answer is no. It's got to be no. I mean, the likelihood of foreign interference is growing, not lessening.
And here's House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy, who defended Trump.
I know the president. I know what action he took in the last campaign. Yes, when he was approached by this, he did what was right. When I watched the Democrats, they did what was wrong.
What he's referring to there is the so-called Steele dossier containing some dirt on Trump that was compiled by a former British spy. Tolu, do you think that's a fair comparison?
It's a comparison that we're going to continue to hear from Republicans, because they don't really have much to say in terms of defending the president on his own statements, but they are using it to throw the stone back at Democrats and say, listen, you all are guilty of this as well. You shouldn't be hypocrites and attack the president. Obviously, there's some differences between what happened on the Democrats' side, where they hired an opposition research firm, which went on to hire someone who had ties to foreign governments to look up information about President Trump. It's not the same as the Trump campaign being solicited by someone purporting to be from the Russian government, saying that the government of Russia wants to help the Trump campaign by providing dirt on Hillary Clinton, and Trump's son, who was a part of his campaign, saying, I love it. It's not quite the same, but Republicans are going to use that to try to muddy the waters a little bit and show that this is something that Democrats are guilty of, not necessarily something that the president is guilty of. So you can expect to hear more about this as President Trump calls for investigating the investigators and calls for more information to come out about the Steele dossier and more information to come out about what the Democrats were doing to look for negative information about his ties to Russia during the 2016 campaign. You can expect that to be the theme as Republicans struggle to figure out how to defend the president's own comments, but have a lot of information to use to go on attack against Democrats who are trying to use the president's comments against him.
Beth, what do you make of this next story? The Office of Special Counsel, now this is separate from the Robert Mueller Special Counsel, recommended that Kellyanne Conway be fired for violating the Hatch Act because she's attacked Democratic candidates in her role as the White House counselor. Now, the president said today that he's not going to fire her, that it's an exercise of free speech. I guess it's no surprise, Beth, that the president responded the way that he did and that Kellyanne Conway is keeping her job.
Right. Again, consistent with him never apologizing, never saying that, you know, anyone around him ought to apologize or had done anything wrong. Look, Kellyanne Conway doesn't have free speech. She is specifically prohibited from saying certain things publicly because of her position in this administration as a government official. So the president is wrong there. One enters government knowing fully well that political speech is going to have to be curtailed. And she goes ahead and says what she says anyway. But again, this is to some degree consistent with the administration. They will take a look at a law that they don't necessarily like or agree with and then decide that they don't have to follow it. Now, what the enforcement mechanism is here, that remains to be seen. I don't think that there's anybody who's going to come and march Kellyanne Conway out of the White House. It would be up to the president to make that decision.
Well, that's what's so confusing, Tolu. I mean, this is a federal law. And if it's what good is it if no one follows it?
That's sort of the quagmire that the Office of Special Counsel finds itself in, and that's part of the reason they were so forceful in doing something that was somewhat unprecedented in calling for a president to remove one of his closest advisors. They realize that they don't have the power to remove Kellyanne Conway. The police aren't going to go in and take her out of the White House. So they called on the president, and they used sort of their public bully pulpit to, you know, draw some headlines to this issue. But this is a law that really does require some level of compliance by the president to follow the guidelines that are currently in the law and to get rid of people who break those guidelines. But if the president says, I don't want to do that, he's the president and he has the authority to decide whether or not to follow through. And I think in this case, we're seeing pretty clearly that he's not going to follow through on this specific law.
Which means Kellyanne Conway is going to be staying. Sarah Huckabee Sanders is not staying. This is of her own accord. The White House press secretary is stepping down at the end of the month. She has had a pretty adversarial relationship with the press corps, and I wonder if you both can talk about that very briefly. What it's been like to work with her, especially a press secretary who hasn't had a briefing at the White House in 95 days.
Yeah, Sarah Sanders will be known as the press secretary who killed the daily press briefing. This is what you would normally expect to be the main job of the press secretary, to go out and brief the press on a daily basis and tell the American people what the government and what the administration is doing. She basically killed that, and even when she was doing briefings, there were a number of times where she came out and provided information that was not true. She's going to be known as someone who served as a loyal advisor to the president, who was very close to the president, who went far and beyond in terms of protecting him, but in many cases went beyond what was true. And we saw that in the Mueller report, where she was exposed to have made up some information and provided it to the public that had no basis in fact. And I think she will be known for having done that on a regular basis as part of her role protecting the president.
And Beth, what has it been like to work with Sarah Sanders?
Well, my big question is who would want to come in and replace her? I mean, this is the job. Tolu is quite right in saying all the things that she did and didn't do. But this is sort of an impossible job for somebody to work for this president who, you know, is tweeting all the time and makes his own statements and talks to the press when he's walking to the chopper on the way off out of the White House. He does speak up for himself routinely. So for a staffer to represent the president in a way that is in any way authoritative, he makes that job very difficult because they can say one thing and he's going to come out and say something else or what he wants. So my sense is that he may just decide that, you know, he's left a lot of other positions unfilled in the administration and that he will continue to be his own best spokesperson, and particularly since the daily briefing's been killed.
Yeah, and the president says that Sarah Sanders should now run for the governor of Arkansas. So we'll see if we've seen the last of her. Beth, sticking with you, 2020 news. We now know who will and will not be on the stage for the first Democratic candidates debate in just under 2 weeks. Montana Governor Steve Bullock, Miramar, Florida Mayor Wayne Messam, who we had on the program yesterday, and Massachusetts Representative Seth Moulton are out. What are you hearing? Is there a feeling that the DNC's system for making these choices is fair?
Well, NBC News and MSNBC are hosting the debate, and we're very excited about that. We're very excited to be doing the first debate and are have been preparing to do this in a couple of weeks, as you said. Look, the DNC made a decision that they were going to control the system by which candidates were going to be admitted to the debate. It was not an easy job for Tom Perez and for his team because of the large field of candidates. So they set some rules that the candidates needed needed to abide by some polling criteria, needed to have a certain number of donors across states. One could grumble that that isn't the way these folks should have been chosen, but in the end, it was a system that they stuck with and that it worked out pretty well. When you have 23 candidates and only 20 slots, three people are not going to make it. But the people who did were able to do so by abiding by the criteria the DNC set. So in the past, debates have been set up by other means, and the DNC decided that it was the role of the DNC to control this, and they did, and now now it's game on. Today we're going to know the who's going to be on which stage and which night, right. And that's going to be exciting as well.
And with that many candidates, you are sure to make somebody unhappy. Somebody just isn't going to make it. Beth Fooey, politics senior editor at NBC, and Tolu Olorunupah, White House reporter at The Washington Post. Thanks very much to you both.
Thank you.
Thank you.